is our anchor in life. How many of you have had a turbulent week? How many of you have had difficulties? How many of you have had hard times? How many of you are ready to quit? Life is not easy, is it? But you know what? God's good. And as our brother reminded us today, He is our anchor. And it's not us holding on to Him, it's Him holding on to us. Could we this morning, just a few of you that might want to lift up your voice and thank the Lord in one sentence for something He's done for you this week. Would you do that right now? Just somebody here that would like to thank the Lord, and you tell it to the Lord, you're not telling it to us, but just something you want to thank God for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sin.
Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come here and worship this morning.
Yes, yes.
Fear of persecution.
That's right. Father, we have so many things to be thankful for. Thank you, Lord, that you never let us down. No matter what we walk through in life, you're always ever present. You're faithful, you're consistent, you're God. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in this place today. And as we look at, I think, the greatest verse in the scriptures, in John 3:16, to know that you loved us and you love us now. And the opportunity that you give to us to have eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for what Jesus did for us and his willingness to go to the cross and suffer and bleed and die in our place. Get glory to yourself this morning. Teach us by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, would you take your Bibles and turn to John 3:16? Stand there in the baptismal pool, and Stacy leaned over me and she said, "How do you look at these people every Sunday?" I said, "Honey, it ain't easy." It's not easy, but I'm glad to see you here today. I think this is the greatest verse penned in the Word of God, although every verse from cover to cover, friends, is important. But this one has so much depth to it, and I don't know how many times in 32 years I've preached on John 3:16, but it never loses its power. We're still talking about the five love languages, still trying to finish up. We got three of them in February, and March came up on us kind of quickly, and of course Ike was here last week. I don't know about you, but I was tired when I went home just listening to Ike preach. Whew. That guy knows nothing else but hammer down, pedal to the metal. I said, "Lord, he's going to pop wide open one of these days preaching." But what a message, amen. And the Sportsman's Bank was just such a blessing. Thank you so much for all of you that did so much to make it such an important time and a successful time and working in so many people's hearts and their stomachs, amen. We fed a whole lot of people last week. But today we're looking at gift giving. Gift giving. Now, with some of you, as soon as I said that, a little smile came to your face. Some of us are more prone to gift receiving than gift giving. And let me say this again. Most of the time what you complain about in the people around you that you don't get from them, especially your mates, is probably an indication of what your love language is. We've talked about words of affirmation. Well, he never says anything nice about me. She never looks at me and says, "Man, you sure are a hunk and you're good looking and I'm thankful to have you as my husband." What about quality time? He never spends any time with me. He never takes the responsibility of setting up a date. Or she never spends any. She doesn't care what goes on in my life. Quality time. sitting down, looking into each other's eyes, and spending time focusing on each other. What about acts of service? How many of you maybe remember me running the vacuum cleaner up here? Yeah. Just washing the windows, washing the dishes, cleaning the car, doing something as an act of service to minister to somebody, to communicate love to them. Today is gift giving. Now, next week is physical touch. All right? My wife will probably not be here because she's already told me. She said, I'm scared of what you might say. But it is what it is. Amen. And some of us that have the love language of physical touch, amen. That's just the way it is. That's the way God made it. Can't make an excuse for it, but I hope you'll be here to learn something about it. That might not be your love language, but maybe that's your mate's love language. So if that be the case, minister to him. Amen. But today we're talking about gift giving, and the greatest example of giving is found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. Somebody said almost everything ever written on the subject of love indicates that at the heart of love, there's the spirit of giving. You know, I've learned if you care for people, you love them, what do you want to do? You want to give to them. You want to minister to them. Even selfish people give sometimes. They might not give the best and the most, but they have a tendency to give. But there are three things I want you to see in relationship to this verse and speaking the love language of gift giving. And this stuff is important. Try it. Try it on your mate. Try it with your children. Try it at work. I'm not saying you got to love your boss, but you might be surprised how that will go a long ways in ministering to people and opening up doors, even with your neighbors. I hate my neighbors. Well, praise God, do something to minister to them. Bake them some cookies. Don't put X-lax in it. Just bake them some cookies and take it to them. And say, hey, I want to be a blessing to you. If that grass needs cut and you're out cutting yours, cut theirs. Just do something in giving of yourself. First of all, give of yourself. Now, how many of you have been caught in a pinch at Christmas time, Valentine's, anniversaries, birthdays, where you just go get something just for the sake of getting something and saving face? It's really neat to go to Walmart February 13th in the evening. People come in frantically looking, or December the 24th. I used to wait till December the 24th. I could go in one end of the store, I could buy a couple gifts, get a card, and be back home in a couple hours. But you know what? There was no thought. It didn't come from the heart. If you know when your wife's birthday, and men, that's extremely important, get that date down in your head. Forget your birthday. Remember hers. Make sure that you remember her anniversary because it's special to her. She will never forget it. Women remember everything. That's just their plot. Huh?
There are exceptions to that rule.
I've never found any. Well, you're the only woman I've ever met that didn't remember everything. And that's a good time. That's a good thing sometimes. But learn to give of your heart. Put something into it. Think through it. What can I do to be a blessing? Not only do you give from your heart, but you give with a purpose. Why do you give? Because I don't want my sister getting mad at me. She remembers every birthday and every anniversary, and if I forget her, she's going to call me up and let me have it, so I got to get her something. Christmas time. Oh, if we don't get so-and-so something, they're going to get us something. My brother-in-law will do this. I give him $100, he gives me $100. Works out really good. We both get blessed. It doesn't cost us anything. But give from your heart and give with a purpose. How did God give? What kind of purpose did he have? He not only gave, my friends, to communicate that he was concerned and that he cared, he gave to meet a need, but he also gave to communicate a message. And when you and I give, that's what we need to do. It's going to take some thought. It's going to be some planning. Have you ever bought something for somebody and you give it to them and they look at it and you know they're thinking, what am I going to do with this? Or, why did you get me this? Make sure that you put your head and heart into it. You think God did? Sure. in the heart of God thousands of years ago was initiated the love for mankind. And what did he do? He thought through that whole process, the evidence of Jesus in the Old Testament, many times predictions by prophets that were speaking into the future about the coming of Christ and what he was going to do for you and I, even the crucifixion, speaking to the issue. It was all planned out in the heart of God. If you and I are going to minister love for one another, friends, it's not just about putting something in somebody's hand, but communicate a message that when you give something to somebody, you give it with a heart attitude that says, hey, I care about you. You mean something to me. It's like a lady said, her husband stopped and there was somebody in the middle of the road that was selling roses. And he bought one. Now, it only cost a dollar. But she said, we've been married for 38 years and he ain't never bought me a flower. And he comes home with one rose. She said, I was flabbergasted that he would, number one, spend a dollar on me, but number two, to buy me a flower. And she said, all I could do was hug him and kiss him. You know why it meant so much to her? Because he gave from the heart. It wasn't just getting something to shut her up or getting him something so he won't have an attitude and mope around the house like a little kid. But you're giving with a purpose. You're giving from your heart. That's the example of Christ. Secondly, give of your substance. Give of your substance. Well, what are the two things that we have? Number one, your presence. It's like a lady went to the hospital and had a baby, and you know what? Her husband didn't show up, but he sent roses. Sent 24 roses. He had a softball game. First baby. How do you think that went? Over. There's probably a bat out there somewhere about the size of his head. But what does she need more than anything? His presence. You think your presence doesn't mean something? I've learned as a pastor in all these years, and I want to be able to walk into situations and have the magic words to be able to heal up people's hurts and take care of their problems, but I've learned over the years that I don't. I mean, I can share the word of God with them, and that's therapeutic to help them and minister to them, but you know what means the most? Many times, just being there, just showing up. Because there are no magic words, but it's something about when you and I give of our presence and give of our time, it speaks volumes. Some of you were raised in the home of a workaholic. You know, I used to say, listen, it doesn't make any difference as far as quantity. Just make sure it's good quality. But you know what? I don't believe that anymore. Because how in the world can you have quality if you don't have quantity? And if you were raised in the home of a workaholic, you were never given the presence of your parents. I was raised in one of those homes. My dad was never home. I saw him 15 minutes a day. And his thing was, hey, I'll put food on the table and clothes on your back. Hey, you think get that baseball glove, boy? But you know what? I would have given up all of that to be able to just have some time with him. Your presence means much. Well, people don't care about me that much. How do you know? Sometimes that's a cop-out. That's our excuse for not taking the time to make our presence with that person as a priority. You know, think about God. The Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He goes everywhere we go. You ever take for granted the presence of the Lord? And when you think of this thing of giving and giving of your substance, that you give of your presence. How many of you know some absent parents? They only show up every once in a while and then they give gifts to their kids and get back in their vehicle and leave. Well, here's a new cell phone. Hope you enjoy it. And I've done my duty and spent my 15 minutes with you and I'm gone. Or I'm going to take you out to a restaurant and I'm going to buy you a burger or something. Oh, by the way, I went to Hardee's this week. I got two hamburgers. I didn't eat both of them. I got two 1/3-pound thick burger at Hardee's. I get home. I could taste those things all the way home. I get home. I open up the package, take the bun off. There's no burger. I'm like, seriously, this is a sin. So I'm not promoting Hardee's anymore. But give, friends, give of your presence. Moms and dads, spend time with your kids. Give them yourself. It's not all about the toys and trinkets, because there again, sometimes that's nothing but a cop-out, because it's a whole lot easier sometimes to shove a cell phone in their face or some toy or some trinket and say, hey, I love you. But what's really going to communicate, and especially in the formative ages of your children, spend time with them. There's your presence, but there's also your possessions. I knew a man one time that sold one of his guns that he loved to buy a ring for his wife. Ladies, this is where you elbow your husband, okay? Let me ask you something. What did God give out of? He not only gave his presence, but he gave of his possessions. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You think Jesus was special to him? Sure. Did God give out of his possessions? Sure. He gave out of his resources. What is it that you have that you could sell or give away and believe God to give you the amount that you might minister to somebody else? What's one of the first things that comes to our mind when we think about doing something for someone? I can't afford it. She wants a ring. It's $3,000. Ain't no way in the world I can do that. I'd have to sell one of the kids or something. Why don't you look around? You know, when you get in debt and you're up to debt, look around at some of the things you can sell. You might be surprised the value of some of your possessions that you could minister to somebody on a level that would blow your mind. But giving out of your possessions. Now, let me read this to you. Now, what they want might cost too much. It could be that God's trying to teach us something about trusting him to supply the need. Well, preacher, I'd like to take my wife away on a nice anniversary, and she'd really love that, but I can't afford it. You ever prayed about it? Oh, I'm going to trouble God over something like that? My Bible says you have not because you ask not. Don't shortchange yourselves, friends, for an opportunity to love on your mate that God might supply the need. I don't know how he's going to do it. Really doesn't make any difference. Or it could be that you could take your little honey bunny on a nice little date or a nice little excursion, but it might cost you selling one of your trinkets. This is getting tough now, isn't it? You can go on to meddling. You might say, I don't spend money, but I invest it. Okay. Some of you will experience an emotional resistance in spending money as an expression of loving on somebody else. We fail to realize that we're really doing something for ourselves instead of doing something for somebody else. Well, preacher, we've got to prepare for the future. That's true. And I think you need to invest money wisely. I believe that. But let me ask you a question. Why are you investing it? And is that the best place that you can invest it? Preacher, I'm getting 3% on my money. Sir, you might get a better return by taking some of that money and doing something for your wife that's expensive. That might open up a door to communicate love to her. I wish you guys could see what I'm looking at. There's glances here and there. And many times as we invest money, the only thing that we're doing is purchasing self-worth and emotional security.
Well, preacher, she knows I loved her. I told her that when we got married 40 years ago.
But sir, can I ask you a question? Is that her love language? Is gift-giving her love language? And if that be her love language, then how could you minister to her? And it doesn't have to be expensive, but ladies, you wouldn't mind getting it if it was expensive, would you? Us men wouldn't mind getting an expensive gift sometimes. Come on. Amen.
Well, I don't think like that.
Well, that might be the way you think, but that might not be the way your mate thinks. Get on track. Learn to do what ministers to people and do it in such a way where it ministers. Really, in those times, we're putting our emotional needs above our mate's needs. And there again, it doesn't have to be our mate. You can do this with your children. Get plugged in and find out what your kid's love language is and minister on that level. If it's gift giving, then give to them. Do something expensive every once in a while just to minister to them. I've found the people of gift giving, they don't really get too supercharged over the dollar amount. They just like getting something. Whether it's acts of service or words of affirmation, but find out what it is, and this stuff works in the marriage relationship. Well, why is it such a big deal, preacher? The big deal is this, friends. We got a 75% divorce rate in the church because nobody's listening to the practical way of ministering one to another and doing it the way God did it. And the simplicity of what's found in John 3:16. And we many times just write it off and we go our merry way, but we're failing, friends. We're falling apart in the structure of the family relationship because we're thick-headed at times and we won't do what needs to be done to minister one to another and keep love in the relationship. Can somebody say amen? Thank you. Some of you sitting out here today with gaping wounds. Your heart's broken. Your marriage is a mess. Do something. Don't just keep going the same way you're going. Do something. Get online. Find out what your love language is. Let each other know what your love language is. Wear that thing out. And minister one to another. Thirdly, in closing, give sacrificially. David said in 2 Samuel 24:24, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. Gentlemen, how many of you men in this room have gone out to buy yourself, your wife something, and the first place you go is the clearance rack? I'm all about bargain hunting. But it's a sad thing when you take it home and it doesn't fit because it's three sizes too small and you only paid $7 for it. Then you got to give her the receipt and say, honey, you mean the world to me. She's like, yeah, sure. Yeah. But give sacrificially. Give the best you have. How many of you ever seen the movie A Man Called Norman? It's an old movie, but if you've never seen it, you need to get it and watch it. The man Norman was a neighbor, and the man that was the neighbor to Norman ministered to him and went over and did things to him. He wanted to take him to church, but Norman dressed so shabbily. It was pitiful. I mean, his clothes, he wore two or three coats, and all of them had holes in them, and the breeches, he'd wear two or three pair at a time, and they all had holes in them, and his shoes had, and he stunk, and he was dirty. He was just filthy. His house was a wreck. It was a mess. And God said, I want you to take Norma to church one Sunday. He said, nope, I ain't doing that. I ain't taking him to church. I ain't taking that man looking like that. Well, then God said, he needs a suit. So he said, I went in my closet and I started going through my suits. And he said, I had a couple old ones in there. I said, I blew the dust off the shoulders. And I thought, well, I'll take this over there and see if Norman can wear it. And he said, I'm walking across the street and the Spirit of God said, Why you want to give him something that you're probably going to throw away or take to Goodwill? I want you to take him to the men's store, and I want you to buy him a new suit. And I not only want you to buy him a new suit, but I want you to buy him a nice looking shirt and a brand new tie and socks and underwear. You see, friends, there are going to be times when God's going to say, hey, give your best. Do you always do that? Do you give your best to the one you love? Did God give his best? Sure. He gave his best, friends, and he gave a substantial amount. I believe sometimes you need to splurge. And I realize sometimes you don't have it. But my God says, listen, I shall supply your needs according to my riches in glory. And you make those things a matter of prayer, and you bless somebody one day by just going over the top. Just getting out there and doing something that you can't afford. Can I remind you that the Church of Macedonia didn't tap the all-sufficient resource of God until they learned to give away what they couldn't afford? We're so cheap and stingy sometimes, aren't we? We'll pitch a little something at people, cast our pearls before the swine, when really we're more concerned about what we're keeping for ourselves instead of what we can give to somebody else. How many of you blessed God's heart this morning in the offering? How many of you gave sacrificially and gave from your heart of love and it was just nothing more? How many of you squeezed that offering in? But it was like, But how many of you gave cheerfully and you blessed the heart of God this morning? And I maybe have told you this story, but that's okay. I'm 64 now, and I can tell stories two or three times and get away with it, amen. But this little heart is probably 51 or 52 years old. I went in my Sunday school class one day, and our teacher said, now listen, this was the first part of January, and the Sunday school teacher said, listen, if any of you would like to buy a heart for your mothers, just let me know and I'll make them. And it's such a beautiful little, I don't know how, this thing is priceless as far as I'm concerned. And she said, I said, well, how much is it? She said, it's $1.25. And I'm like, oh, $1.25. That's like $1 million in my world, 50-some years ago. Then I got to thinking. My mama gives me a quarter every day to buy my lunch. And 5 times 25 is $1.25. Now, mind you, I'm a little fat boy. I'm 3 feet tall, 2 feet wide. And lunch was really important to me. But I wanted to get one of these hearts for my mama. And so every day my mama would give me that quarter and I'd stick it in my pocket. Because I'm thinking next Sunday, I'm going to have a heart to give my mother for Valentine's Day. And she's just going to love it. And especially when I tell her I sacrificed my lunch for 5 days so she could have it. I can see her now. She wept so uncontrollably, about squeezed the breath out of me. And I can't tell you what I felt in my heart. It's tough. Man, I ate pencils, erasers. I put salt on notebook paper. I'd get home. Mom said, son, why you eat so much tonight? I thought, I'm hungry, Mom. I'm really hungry. But there's somebody out there. You couldn't have bought this from my mother. You couldn't put enough money in this room to buy this pillow from her. Because it communicated something from my heart that I sacrificially did to say, Mom, I want you to know that I love you. Gift giving. sir, what is it that you've got tucked away that you got to blow the dust off of it to sell it, to do something for your wife, to say, honey, I want you to know something. I love you, and I appreciate you, and I'm willing to sacrifice to minister to your heart. Ma'am, is there a piece of your jewelry that maybe you need to hawk, that you need to sell? See, I'm going to do something for my man because I love him, and I want him to know that he's special. I'll tell you something, friends. One day God looked down on earth. He saw us. He saw us out there in the future as a bunch of little snotty-nosed bratty kids, selfish, hearts bent on hell, eat up with pride, enemies of his. And God said, but I love them, and I want to spend all of eternity with them. And so my sacrifice is to put my son on the cross and put their sin on his body and let him give the ultimate sacrifice on the tree and the cross of Calvary, that they might have forgiveness of sin and know what it means to have the gift of eternal life and to be able to come stay with me for all of eternity. What do you need to do with this message today? Are there people here that need to accept the gift of eternal life? Like our brother said last week, it's not just about praying a prayer. Prayer is the avenue that gets you to God. But if that's all you do is pray a prayer, then I'm sorry, you're not going to get the goods. If the Spirit of God's dealing with your heart and brings you to a place of conviction and contrition and brokenness in your life, and you see yourself in the light of His glory, and you recognize that you desperately need Him to come into your life, and you need the forgiveness of sin, and you need God to give you that gift of eternal life, and He extends that to you. And if it's a gift, there's only one way you can get that gift, and that is by simply taking it. When I stood there that day with this little heart and I gave it to my mother, there was only one way she could accept it, and that is for her to reach out and take it. And God says, I have a gift of eternal life I want to give to you. And He's not going to force Himself on you. Because if that were the case, that's not a gift. But a gift is something you receive. And there are people in this room today that you need to say yes to God. You need to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to accept that gift of eternal life. And I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. And I'm asking you to live within me and take control of my life and use me for yourself. And look at opportunities around you, in your home, to love on people and to give gifts, to bless people. Be surprised what God will do and how He will honor your faithfulness in giving. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know how God's spoken to your heart. I've learned this over the years, that the word love is cheap. We toss it around. Oh, honey, I love you. No, you don't love her. You don't love him. You love yourself. All you're consumed about is getting your needs met. I love my husband. What's his love language? You speak it. Preacher, be honest with you, I don't really care because he never does anything for me. Boy, wouldn't we be a mess if that was God's attitude? I don't know where you are. But there are people here today who say, preacher, I need the Lord. If I were to die in the next 5 seconds, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I go to sleep with it on my mind. I get up every morning with it on my mind. It strikes a chord of fear in my heart. God gave His Son for you, sir. Now the only thing that you need to do is be willing to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. And I'm asking you to forgive me. And I'm asking you to come into my life, and I'm asking you to give me that gift of eternal life.
You do something for me that I cannot do for myself. I can give you the strong assurance that that prayer works, friends. And God will change your life from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. He'll eliminate the guilt and the condemnation. He'll clear up the confusion. He'll sweeten your heart. He'll soften your hide. He'll tenderize you. What do you need today? Are the people here just by an uplifted hand to say, please pray for me, because all the things you mentioned are things that I need. Would you pray for me today? Anyone by an uplifted hand? Thank you. Just one? Father, thank you for the great example that you are to us and your great love for us. What we talked about this morning, God, you have exemplified. We're so thankful for that. The greatest example is found in the greatest lover, and that being you. And so help us to go out of this place and just act like Jesus, the way we might minister to people on levels that God's going to cost us something, and that, God, we're going to put something into it. Lord, we recognize that talk is cheap, and we can say we love one another, but help us to do those things to prove out our great love for each other. And we want you to know today that we love you, and we're thankful for what you've made available to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.